So happy Good Shepherd Sunday to everybody. And today is the day, or a day, I should say, that the church focuses especially on men and women who consecrate themselves 100% to following Christ. Following Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. What does that mean? In between the lines means your priests, your deacons, your nuns, your missionaries, your religious, all those kind of things. You know, people like me. So anyway, this Mass is about us. All joking aside, though, I think it's beautiful to be able to take this opportunity to reflect a little bit on consecrated life, and especially I'd like to focus on the last words of Jesus in the Gospel. I came so that they may have life, they might have life and have it more abundantly. I think we're all aware, actually a lot of you probably witnessed, last Easter Vigil here in this church, we had about 50, slightly over I believe, 50 people getting baptized and or confirmed, many of whom were young adults. And there's a phenomena that we see happening in the world. I remember in Lent, I guess it's two Lents ago now, so it was Lent in 2025, and throughout Lent I was reading different articles, so they came to me in different moments, and they were all from different parts of the world. One article came from Paris, one came from Dublin, one was New York, and one was London. But I remember reading all of them saying essentially the same thing. Record numbers of baptisms expected, and confirmations, of course. And they're mostly young adults, and interestingly enough, they were mostly men. Guys like in their 30s. And we see something happening across the country. Actually, this past Holy Week, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles blew everybody else away. Los Angeles. I'm not talking about, you know, the Christian capital of the world here. This is L.A. Okay. L.A., of all places. 8,000 and some, I don't remember if it was 8,000 or 8,500, but it was a lot of young adults getting baptized and confirmed and stepping up in the Catholic Church. Mostly young adults. Again, adults, okay? Atlanta was number two. The Archdiocese of Atlanta was number two. We had like 4,500 and some change. More than New York, more than other places that are bigger than us. So, big round of applause. Virtual, because we're not... Okay. Anyway, there you go. So, what's the point I'm getting at? The Holy Spirit is clearly doing something in the world right now. And I think if we want to look at it, there is a hunger out there. And people, I think, have been fed and malnourished spiritually for long enough, and we are realizing a lot of the things that we have turned to in the last 15, 20 years or whatever, and frankly, since the Garden of Eden, if you want to tell the truth, but a lot of the things that we have turned to are not satisfying us spiritually. And people are looking for where they will be spiritually fed, and they're looking to the Catholic Church, and they are discovering or rediscovering the person of Christ. And we are discovering the truth of his words. I have come so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This is the promise that Christ makes to everybody that comes to him. He doesn't promise, I have come so that you'll have an easy life and that everything will just be, you know, pie in the sky. You will have your fair share of hardships. You will have your difficulties, your challenges. Being a Catholic in society is not going to be easy a lot of times, or at least being a Catholic who lives your Catholic faith and maybe has to take some unpopular stands. But the promise is there. When we live our lives for Christ, like Christ, when we let him be our inspiration, when we have intimate contact with him, he will give us lives that are abundant. There is a peace and a joy that only Christ can give us. And this is something that I think especially, no offense to everybody here, but perhaps especially is experienced by those men and women that Christ has called to follow him 100%, 24/7. Okay, I can't think of anybody else better to talk about, so I'm just going to talk about myself a little bit. Why? Because I know my own story better than anybody else. Okay, full disclosure, I'm a schmuck, okay? I'm not saying because I'm some kind of great guy. I was just some ordinary Joe from the Christian capital of the world, Seattle, Washington. Yeah, that's right, the left coast. All right, I grew up in Seattle of all places. So if God can do it with a kid from Seattle, he can certainly do it from somebody in God's country down here, okay? But I remember when I was in high school, I used to describe myself jokingly as your typical high school barbarian, okay? What does that mean? I was Catholic, I went to Sunday Mass and everything, but I was doing lots of stuff you shouldn't be doing, just the ordinary. I wasn't a bad kid, but I certainly was not. Nobody thought I was going to be a priest. Nobody. I remember in the eighth grade, I went to Catholic grade school, K to eight, or first through eighth, rather. And in the eighth grade, we always had a passion play that one of our teachers, you know, would put on. Guess who got 30 out of 30 votes, including his own, to be Judas? I figured, you know, you may as well play to your strengths. So there you go. Guess who was the only priest out of that class, by the way? Just saying. Most of the people in the class probably aren't even still Catholic, let alone practicing them. So I was not your typical shoo-in vocation, but when I turned 18, God kind of zapped me and I started praying, and long story short, by the age of 20, I was entering the Legionaries of Christ, okay? And I discovered there all kinds of ordinary kind of like dudes. I looked around, I said, okay, these are the kind of guys I could see myself hanging out with. Like ordinary guys, they play sports, you know, they talk about ordinary things, but they are serious about God in a way that I had not encountered before. So what does God do with you when you decide I'm going to give God, you know, let God do whatever he wants? Well, when I first told my dad, so my mom, both my parents felt very strongly about the vocation, one in one direction, one in the other. So when I first told my dad, hey, I'm going to go to the seminary, he says, that's nice, son, I will never talk to you again. That's pretty much what happened. So for 25 years, I never spoke to my dad. I mean, you know, I'd write him Christmas cards and Easter and whatever, but you know. And I remember in the year, so I joined in 91. I remember in the year 2016, I arrived back to the United States for the first time in, I think, 13 years, 14, whatever. I arrived the year before, but I had arrived to the United States in 2016. I said, this is ridiculous. My dad is now in his 80s. This can't go on. So I tried to write him, text him, everything, no response. I found out later, he's an old man, he just never checks that stuff, so fair enough. So I just hopped on an airplane and flew over to Seattle from New York and just like found out where his office is and just barged in on him. And it totally worked. It was like as if 25 years hadn't even happened. We were sitting there talking about the same old, like, really? It was that easy? So, by the way, parentheses, if you find yourself in a situation where you go 25 years without speaking to your dad, you can always just hop on an airplane and barge in, and it might just work. There you go. Close parentheses. So the next couple of years, you know, then COVID popped up a couple of years later, so I didn't really see him again. 2021, I thought that COVID was done, foolishly. So in August, I bought a flight. Well, the flight wasn't until basically Halloween, because that was the first time I had a few days consecutively where I could work with it. So 2021, Halloween rolls around, I fly to Seattle, and as I'm in the air, my dad is hearing from the doctor, you have between 2 days and 2 weeks to live. Now, that was not on my agenda when I booked that flight months before, right? This would have only been the second time that I really saw my dad in, at this point, 30 years. So I landed, and there's the good news that I landed to. So the last couple days I spent with my dad, and on All Souls Day at around 9 in the morning, you know, I spent basically the entire night praying with my dad. We were in his house. He wasn't in the hospital or anything. He just had this kind of lazy boy chair set up, and we were giving him medicines and whatnot. Around 9 in the morning, I remember at 8 in the morning thinking, well, this doesn't look good. I'm sure by noon he's going to die. At 9 in the morning he died, right around there. So the last hour he really went down. And I remember him giving his kind of last staggered breaths. And I'm thinking, I don't think there's another one of those coming. So he'd since been remarried, background story. But I turned to his wife, who wasn't Catholic, so nice lady. But I said, look, there's something I really want to do here, and can I do it? And she said yes, probably the fruit of the fact that I've been praying all night. So after he gave his last breath, but while he's still alive, so we're talking like the last 30 seconds of his life, I was able to give him the anointing right there. And you know, as I was doing it, I'm choking up because I'm thinking, okay, all those decades of my mom praying and me praying and all the other relatives praying for my dad, all of that funneled down to about a 30-second window of time that it took for me to give him the anointing in the last seconds, literally, while his soul was still connected to his body on the Feast of All Souls. Anything could have happened. That was a, it was a trip that I, nobody knew he was sick. I mean, that sick. I booked this flight months before. And I remember hearing kind of in my soul the words, God is faithful. Okay. I have organized, since I have been a Legionary of Christ, I have found myself in skyscrapers in Manhattan and around the country. I used to travel around the country, kind of like a traveling salesman for the Legion. I have lived in the Philippines. I've organized many, many youth missions, young adults and youth missions, just same kind that we do here, except over there it's cooler because you're in a tropical country, so you go to like these exotic islands with no electricity and stuff, and really cool. Numerous times, I have barged into people's bamboo huts, people who had not received the sacraments in 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, I may have hit 70, I'm not sure, I don't recall, years with no sacraments. And in the last days of their lives, some weird white guy who doesn't even speak their language and is working with a translator barges in and gives them the sacraments. I remember one day, I was kind of joking darkly because I quote-unquote killed three people. What does that mean? It means I gave three anointings to three different people on this island that were on their deathbeds, and within 36 hours, all of them had died and gone to heaven. I racked up probably 150 years of forgiven sins just in that afternoon, okay? One of the funnier ones was we went to this one bamboo hut up this hill, and there's this little old lady up there, and we asked, you know, hey, when's the last time you went to confession? This would have been around 2010, right? She's like, well, the Japanese were still here. The Japanese left the Philippines in 1944. So, what's the point? The point is when we give ourselves to Christ, I don't claim credit for any of those things. I didn't know what the heck I was doing in any of those. With my dad, with any of the people I visited, none of that. But when we give ourselves to Christ, he will use you. He will do work miracles with you and through you. You will live a life of abundance. This is the promise of Jesus Christ. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So what I would like to do is two things. All of you who are hearing me, let us pray extra today for vocations. Priests, nuns, deacons, missionaries, whatever. Consecrated people who are going to give their lives to Christ. And all you young people, of whom there are many out there, let's also say a prayer and ask God, what do you want me to do? Father, Son, Holy Spirit.